You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Has this ever happened to you? You walk down the hallway on the way to brush your teeth, only to find that somebody's gotten in the bathroom ahead of you, and that person seems to take forever to get out of the shower. Or as you drive to work each morning during rush hour, it seems that the whole world is on the highway, and all you want to do is get to work, and the traffic slows down to a crawl, and then it stops altogether. And you have to go through the same thing all over again on your way home later that day. Or you have an appointment with your doctor at 1 o'clock, and he doesn't show up until 2:30. You run out of patience, right? It happens to you in one form or another every day, right? It's happened to you already today. And before this day is over, it will happen again, perhaps many times. You've just plain run out of patience. Now, the best advice anybody can give you is to cool it. Be patient. You'll live better. You'll live longer. Who needs all this hassle anyway? Having said that, however, it's not all that easy to do. Patience is not something which we create. It's not a virtue which we develop ourselves, even though we know that patience is a virtue. Nor is it something that we can store up and call upon at a time if we might need it a little bit later. No, patience is usually one of those things on our list of New Year's resolutions. You know, as you reflect over the past and catalog all of your shortcomings, surely among them is this business of impatience. You've been short with your spouse, you've been short with your friends, or you kicked the cat, or you've hiked your blood pressure a time or two over things that really aren't worth the attention you give them. And so you say to yourself, this year I'm going to be more tolerant. This year I'm going to be more considerate. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to try a lot harder to get along with those people who are hard to get along with. But it doesn't work that way. No sooner are the words of the resolution out of our mouths than we lose our cool. And so we find ourselves making the same resolution again next year. There is a source of patience, though. In his letter to the people of the territory of Galatia and Asia Minor, St. Paul wrote, "The fruit of the Spirit is patience." He also mentioned a number of other nice things which the Holy Spirit works in people. But the one that we are concerned with is this one, patience. It's a gift from God. It's the work of God the Holy Spirit in people. It's a fruit, that is, a product which grows out of the Holy Spirit dwelling in a person. It follows on the heels of faith in Jesus Christ, which is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit works faith in a person, and that person accepts Jesus Christ, something good grows out of it, namely something like patience. We won't have real patience, though, until such time as the Holy Spirit performs His good work in us. And that good work can only be done when we are involved with the Word of God, the Bible. So if you want patience, get into the Bible, and the Holy Spirit can produce it in you. The word patience is a great word in the Bible. It is exemplified by God Himself in His dealings with the people in Old Testament times, those times before the coming of Christ, and more specifically, those times during which God led His people out of Egypt in the Exodus, and during those 40 years of their wanderings in the Sinai Peninsula, while on their way to the promised land of Canaan on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea. God's people constantly tested His patience. When they arrived on the western shore of the Red Sea during their escape, and the army of Egypt was in pursuit behind them, they blamed God for having brought them out into the desert, only to have them slaughtered there. But God opened the sea, and they passed through safely to the eastern shore on dry land. Then they complained about the food. So he provided little wafers called manna, and all they had to do each morning was to pick them up and eat them. Every day he gave them a new supply. Then they complained that they were getting tired of the same menu day after day. They wanted meat. So he gave them quails. And then they grumbled about something else, the water, their leadership, the rules governing their camp, and so forth. One thing after another. At one point, God was about to lose his cool. He had had his fill of their belly aching. But Moses, their leader, reminded God that it was he who brought these impatient people out into the wilderness, and that if he would destroy them there, he would lose his credibility as a loving God. God didn't really need Moses to tell him that, for he was the epitome of patience. True, some might not think he was very patient when he opened the earth and swallowed up some of those rebels, and some might suggest that he was not very cool when he sent poisonous snakes into their camp and folks died of snake bite. And others might think it was not very cool of Moses when he ground up their idol, the golden calf, and sprinkled the gold dust on the people's drinking water and made them drink it. But God was truly patient. In order to get their attention, he had to chastise his people and to see that in situation after situation, he had truly delivered them. They sinned, he chastised. They deserved to die, but he always forgave them. He never destroyed them. Now, that's patience. And it would be another 1,500 years of his patience before he would send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem the world from its sins. And he would take those sins upon himself. He would go to the cross and die on behalf of the whole world, and he would rise from the dead on that first Easter morning bearing the good news that because he lives, we shall live also, and that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that's patience. That's cool. It was with patience that Jesus himself dealt with his disciples. The biblical record shows that they were often jealous. They displayed irrational behavior or were just plain stupid. But he was very patient and gentle with them during those 3 years in which he taught them, putting up with their foibles. He was patient with them when, after having taught them clearly about his mission of suffering and death, they still asked the wrong questions. He was patient with them in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was in agony over the prospects of what lay ahead, his arrest, his trial, the cross, and all that, and they were asleep. In humility, he washed their feet. In love, he put up with them. He knew that later they would understand what it was all about. How patient he was with them. Patience on our part is that attitude or virtue which we show toward people. We may become impatient with things and circumstances and events, but real patience is the fruit of the Spirit as it relates to other people. People who wear our patience thin, crabby kids, grouchy husbands, nagging wives, people at work who get on our case, the bully on the playground, the gossiper, the tax collector, the policeman who takes his good old time to write out the speeding ticket which we received because we were late in the first place. It's over against these people that the fruit of the Spirit is harvested. People who don't encourage us to be patient. People who are not loving and kind. People who push us to the limit. It's not normal or natural to be patient. What is normal for us is to lose our cool, to get even, to lash out, to strike back. When they do us in, it is natural for us to want to do them in. By nature, we know that if you let people walk all over you, they will walk all over you. By nature, that's the mark of a loser. But God has another way for us. He makes us new in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, St. Paul wrote. He also wrote, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." God's way for us comes about when He sends His Holy Spirit into our hearts and lives in connection with His Word, and with those means which He has provided to bring about the change. "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins," the Bible says. "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved," the Bible says. That's it. That's the way. That's God's way for us. God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners and to make new people of them. The Bible is filled with examples of people who became new in Jesus Christ. They were changed from unloving people to loving people. They were changed from having been short-tempered people to long-suffering people. They were changed from being selfish people to kind people. They were changed from being nasty people to nice people. They were changed from being impatient people to patient people. And all those around them noticed the change. They saw the difference. They said, "Something has come over these people. They're different." And someone like St. Peter said, "Yes, these people have changed. They have become new in Jesus Christ. And when He enters the heart, people are different." And he added, "Let me tell you about Him." And he did. And people were changed as the Holy Spirit worked faith in them. By one count, over 3,000 in one day alone. And they received the fruit of the Spirit. And I can imagine them going home to their families, and the families saying, "What's come over you? You're different." When God pours out His Holy Spirit on folks, they are different ever after. They learn how to cool it with God's help. This is not to say that they become perfect and never lose their temper or display impatience again, but they learn to control themselves. And when they sin, God does forgive them for Jesus' sake. When the Holy Spirit takes over in our lives, we engage in more confident living. We become more bold and self-assured in Christ. We hold our heads up high and do not get so upset over all those things large and small which usually bug people day by day. Friend, you too can have that fruit of the Spirit, patience. You too can know and have a more peaceful and unruffled way of life. You too can have a more joy-filled relationship with others. It's all in Jesus Christ. May God move you to get involved in His Word and those means which He has placed at your disposal to have that new life. May you discover in His Word all the good things He has done for you. And may His Holy Spirit work out that Word in you. And may you be filled with all that good fruit which grows out of that work, especially patience. So, cool it.